there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. It's episode number 247, inching ever so much closer to episode number 250. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. We've even been tweeting lately, so it's almost a reason to follow us. And of course, go to Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. A jam-packed show for this week. We must get started with our first guest. Darren Ockert is a British-born, Miami-based pop artist. He has recently released his second full-length studio album called Short Story Long, which is winning accolades all over the freaking place. He's previously been nominated for an Out Music Award. He's won a Write Out TV Music and Video Award. The short film about him has won awards, and now he's here with us. Darren, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Hey, Ken. Good to speak to you again.
This is so exciting because when we last chatted last May, you were about to release the album, and I don't know if you know, it's just out there now.
Someone let it out there?
They did. Do you want me to say something to someone? Was it premature? No, this is exciting.
Yeah, when we last spoke, I was still, I can't remember, was I finished in the studio? I think I was all wrapped up, wasn't I? And we were just getting ready to like send this off to production to be manufactured. So yeah, now that the album is out to the world.
Well, so much to talk about with the album, but we have some other ground to cover first. First, let's just get this out of the way, just so that the bitterness can get out of the way. How's the Miami weather right now, Darren?
Oh, it's a little chilly. It's around 82 today, so, it's just a little bit chilly.
Yeah, it's great having you on the show, Darren. Good luck with your future.
How's the weather with you?
Okay, nice chatting with you, Darren. I didn't put a hammock up this week like you did, so don't even start. Now, I have a question for you. Are you still a voting member of the Recording Academy?
I am, yes. I was actually at the Miami viewing party last night.
Okay, so that then begs the question. I am officially dubbing you, as they do in England, because I like dubbing people, and you can put this on your resume. You are now officially our Grammy correspondent. What stood out for you at these Grammys?
Well, of course, the major thing that stood out was Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's performance was incredible, and the was it 34 people getting married?
Yeah,
by Queen Latifah was pretty amazing. But you know, someone who I thought was really amazing, and no one has been talking about her, was Pink's performance. No one has mentioned it on any of the shows today, and I thought her performance was really amazing.
Yeah,
her vocals are always stunning, and she did all that acrobatic work, which is not easy to do, and to sing on top of that, she's really incredible. So Pink stood out to me, even though no one else has mentioned her.
Now, I have to ask the question that everyone is asking. What did you think about Madonna?
Next question.
Well, let me ask you. I watched the Grammys by myself, so I wasn't around anybody for a party this year. You were with a big group of people. Instead of maybe having you comment on Madonna, because we hope that one day you two will collaborate, maybe you can reflect on the room's reaction to Madonna.
The room's reaction was lose the cane. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That was the room's reaction, not mine.
Okay. Yes, let's be very clear. We're talking about other Miami gays. It was not Darren Ockert, who will one day be collaborating with Madonna.
With Madonna.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So noted.
I don't think it did her any favors. And, it's always great to see her on stage, but I don't know, Cam.
Leave it there, man.
Yeah.
I want you to have a future. Now, as someone who puts music out there that gets people dancing, would you like to comment, as many are, on Taylor Swift's dancing?
When she was dancing to Beyonce?
When she was just, they kept panning to her in the audience and showing Taylor Swift dancing.
Yeah, she was dancing on her own quite a lot, wasn't she?
She was.
Yeah.
She was.
She's got some moves.
Okay.
I don't know whose moves they are, but she has some.
They might be Madonna's. Let's just leave it there, Darren. Let's just leave it there. All right, we got to talk about this album. So we got Short Story Long. It comes out. Was there a big party?
No, we actually did quite a quiet launch for it.
What happened? I wanted the party.
I know. You wanted the big Miami party, right? Well, we were kind of... I was so busy producing some other stuff and actually planning my wedding.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay.
So we were planning to do a tour later this year, so we've gone straight into rehearsals, and that will be the promotion of the album during the summer.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, there are 12 tracks on the album. It's in my hands right now. It's actually the jacket is in my hands. The CD is in my computer. I've been playing it like crazy. You know, I knew the song.
Great.
Oh, I love it. I love it. There's always, we always hear about songs that didn't, before we even talk about the songs that are on the album, you always hear about songs that didn't make it onto the album. Were there any songs that almost made the cut?
Yeah, there were quite a lot, actually. The song called I Never Loved You. Another song called Dive Into the Deep, which we're still working on, and they may be like additional songs that we release later this year.
Okay.
But I tend to like to, you know, if something's not working for me, I kind of leave it be and start something new. But yeah, there were actually a ton of tracks that didn't actually make it onto the album.
Now, I have not yet heard I Never Loved You, but this is my just off-the-cuff recommendation, not a song to play at your upcoming wedding.
No.
Okay.
No, that, yeah, exactly.
Just checking.
Yeah, I won't be saying that.
Just checking. I'm here to help. I am here to help. We will plan these nuptials by the end of this interview, trust me. So we have these 12 tracks. The accolades all over the place. By the way, one I love so much, the top 20 albums of 2013 from Album Confessions. Who is sandwiched in at number 9 between Demi Lovato and Miley Cyrus? Of course, it's Darren Achard.
Yeah, of course. We think that those two, that's pretty amazing, right?
It's beyond amazing. It's fantastic. Do you sometimes get tired of being in a Demi Lovato, Miley Cyrus sandwich?
Could I ever get tired of being in a Demi Lovato, Miley Cyrus sandwich?
No, tell me about that moment when you found out that you were there. I mean, this what a list that this is, that you are right smack there at number 9.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Lewis, who puts that list together, has been such a tremendous supporter of the album. He wrote an incredible review, song-by-song review of the album. So I was really excited to make that list. Yeah, he's to get on that list is pretty tough. So, yeah, very excited to get on that list.
Now, I have to ask you, and I usually don't do stuff like this because we are a 100% positive show, but I'm kind of curious. So he did write in the review, glowing, 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 and then there's these five words with only one slight bump. Do you know which song he's talking about? Because I want to tell him that he's wrong.
Yeah, I do, actually. It's the song Center of Attention.
And why would he write such a thing? I enjoy Center of Attention.
Well, I guess, you know, music is so subjective.
Yeah.
I think that song is a grower, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's one of those songs that slowly grows on you, and then you're like, because funnily enough, it nearly didn't make the album. And then I'm like, God, I really like this song now. So it made the final cut. Yeah, so I guess maybe it's one of those, maybe if he takes another couple of listens to it, you might not feel that way.
I understand that it is a subjective experience, but he's just flat out wrong, right?
I think so. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
So do you have, I know they're all like your little babies, you got 12 little babies here on a CD. Is there one that's the one, if someone said, you know what, Darren, I don't have time to listen to your 12 songs, just I want to play one, and that's the one that will determine whether I listen to the rest. Which one of all your babies would you pick as your favorite?
Wow.
I know.
Can I pick two?
This is like Sophie's Choice. You may pick two because I feel bad about the whole Center of Attention thing.
I think probably I would say listen to Force of Gravity and Running Out of Love.
Tell me why those.
I think they really represent a good range of my writing ability, lyrically, musically, and vocally.
Nice.
So I guess they are two of the slower songs, so I'm going to pick a third.
Please. By the way, by the end of this, you will have picked all 12. I love how this goes. Go ahead, Darren.
Everybody's Lonely. It's a little more of a dance song, a little more up-tempo. And then if you wanted another one, Crumbs, followed by You Don't Know Me.
Somewhere Center of Attention will get on the list.
Yeah. So, but I didn't, I just loved them all. You know,
I wouldn't put them
on the album if I didn't think they were worth it. So, yeah, it's hard to really pick one.
Well, I'm going to, let's try this in a whole nother category. We'll do a whole new version of Sophie's Choice. If someone said, well, heck, you're on right this second, you're on This Show Is So Gay, which one do you think is the gayest? Which would you choose?
Not Your Boyfriend.
Yeah, that's pretty much right there.
Yeah.
We enjoy that one.
I would say it's my gayest song. That's funny, yeah.
And I Never Loved You, that one's pretty gay too, right?
Well, I Never Loved You didn't make it onto the album, but yeah, I wouldn't say, man, it's not so gay, that one. No.
It's just my opportunity to remind you to please not play it at your upcoming nuptials. Speaking of which, I recently learned that apparently you're getting married.
Yes. Well, but actually, I am married already.
Okay.
Because what happened is, you know, with the whole DOMA thing that happened last year in June and the ruling on DOMA, we just decided this was the time. We'd always said when it was recognized federally, we would do it, and we were waiting for that moment. So we actually eloped to New York because, unfortunately, Florida is a little behind the times at the moment.
Quite a bit.
And it wasn't possible for us to legally get married in Florida, so... You know, as we had lived in New York for many years, and it's kind of our second home, we eloped to New York and did the ceremony in New York, and it was really quite amazing. The only thing is, we didn't tell anyone other than our parents just to give the okay. So we always planned to have a big celebration, you know, around the wedding. So we decided to do it in Miami.
Okay.
And it's happening this weekend, so it's a little hectic this week. I have, you know, all my family coming in from Europe, and I have friends from New York and across the country and D.C. and all over the place coming down. We're going to have a wonderful celebration. It's a three-day event, actually.
Wow.
We have some wonderful neighbors down here hosting two of the events, and then the big ceremony is going to be on a yacht sailing around Biscayne Bay.
And to be clear, just because I don't want there to be any misunderstandings, is it a plus one on my invitation, or am I coming solo?
You did have a plus one.
Oh, good. Okay. I already invited so many people that I would feel really bad. I feel really bad. Now, what were you in charge of, as opposed to what your partner was in charge of? My assumption is you, as the horticulturalist, you were in charge of all the flowers.
I did actually do that.
See, I know.
Yeah. No, we kind of split everything up. We're a very good team, so, yeah, we kind of split everything up.
Okay.
So we still have a few things on the list, but we have family here now that's helping out.
Yes. You came early, pitch in.
Yes, so now you pitch in, yeah.
Now, I don't want to ruin anything, but will you be singing at any of these events?
No, actually. Well, actually, maybe an impromptu thing, but I was planning to write a song, and I just totally ran out of time, unfortunately.
What are you talking about? You have like 4 days left.
I know. And then the other thing is, I actually got a cold last week, and my voice got totally wrecked. So I'm like, am I going to stress myself out that I'm not going to have a voice for this big occasion and just not be... I'm a perfectionist, Ken.
I know. It's okay.
So, yeah. So, there is another 4 days. If I'm feeling like my vocal cords are going to actually work this weekend, then maybe.
I can help you with lyrics. Something like, "This marriage is so gay." Okay, that's all I got.
"You're always here to stay."
Yeah, see? You're like a 16th away through the song already. So I don't know what this... I ran out of time. You have so much time left.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do.
All right.
I'll let you know next time we speak whether it happens or not.
But I mean, I'm going to be there. I'm bringing the Harlem Boys Choir, so it's going to be fine. It's going to be great. So with this album, you know, the album's been out for a few months now. do you tour around with it? What is your plan? Are there videos coming out?
There's going to be some more videos.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And I think 100% that the next single is going to be Everybody's Lonely.
Okay.
We already have an amazing one amazing remix from an Italian producer called Outbreak Music, who's actually done some stuff for me before. But this is, like, phenomenal. He's what he did for this remix is really incredible. So we're getting a couple more remixes together, and then hopefully once all this wedding excitement is over, I can settle down and really get creative on what we're doing with the video. I actually came up with an idea for it when I was in New Orleans for my birthday last year, so I think that's going to be the idea.
Okay. Okay. And by the way, I have to say again, I know we talked about this last time you were on the show, but if folks have not seen the video, I said this last year, I will say it again because I'm standing by it and people know that. Uh-huh. I was serious. If you people have not seen the video for You Don't Know Me, I dare you, I double dare you to go on YouTube, watch You Don't Know Me, and if you do not walk away smiling, I will give you your money back. Whatever it cost you to watch that YouTube video, I will give that money back to you.
It's so funny. Everybody says that. I watched the video and I couldn't stop smiling.
Yeah, great. It's the best.
Exactly what it was supposed to do.
It's the best. This is not the time when you have to already start thinking about another album, right? I talk to so many artists all the time who are thinking, oh, I got to think about the next thing. You get to just stay with this one, right?
No, not at all.
Come on.
Yeah, we're all... Yeah, I have a couple of ideas for an original album this year, well, to record this year, and also I want to do a covers album of one particular artist.
You can't drop something like that without me. Well, I'm assuming it's Madonna based on what, no. I want to know. Is it an artist I know?
Yes, it would be an artist you know.
Huh.
I'll give you three guesses, and if you get it right, Ken, I'll let you know. Otherwise, we leave it at that.
Oh, I do need one hint. Keep in mind that I asked you for your favorite song and you chose 12.
Australia.
Are you doing a Kylie cover?
Oh, you got it right. I would love to do a Kylie cover album.
Is it terrible that the only Australian acts that I know are Kylie and Men at Work? Men at Work was my second guess.
That's hilarious. No, Kylie, I've always thought that was... You could do it. I don't know whether you've heard her. She did like an acoustic version of some of her songs, and they were arranged really interestingly. I thought doing some kind of take on that and just putting them into kind of my genre, just rearranging them a little bit.
I think that would be
cool.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So that's been on my list for a little while.
And the album of original songs, I assume the theme is songs I sang at my wedding.
Yes, exactly. Songs that didn't make it to the wedding.
I love it. I love it. Well, such an exciting time for you. I so appreciate this album, and it's got such a range on it. You have the songs that will make people's toes tap, and you have the songs that will make people slow down, but it really just so much fun to listen to. Deservedly so, one of the top 20 albums of 2013. Everybody's got to stroll on over to darrenockert.com, darrenockert.com. We will provide a link. Go to iTunes. You can download this right now. Hey, Darren, please, seriously, have the most amazing weekend this coming weekend. Don't be one of those people who doesn't eat at their own wedding. I don't like that.
Right. No, I'll be eating.
Okay.
I can't wait to get to the cake.
Yes. Start with some other things and then work your way up to the cake, and that's fine, too. That's fine, too. Start delegating some tasks to the family.
Yes, definitely. We need to start delegating more.
But above all else, just have the most amazing time. My best to you and your partner. And, you know, I will see you there this weekend.
Thanks, Ken. See you this weekend.
I was minding my business. You were on the TV screen. Started talking about me. Blowing smoke from your machine. One more lie. In a game of words that never end, one more heart beating down.
All right, folks, and we are back with our next guest. Brian Anderson is a comic book creator who brought to the world such titles as the crime-fighting duo Rainbow and Diva, the Wizard of Oz-themed comic called Friend of Dorothy, and So Super Duper, featuring quite possibly the gayest superhero in all the universe. He manages the insanely popular X-Gays page on Facebook. His blog is just a feast for the eyes, and we'll talk about that. And now he's here with us. Brian Anderson, welcome to this show with So Gay.
Hello.
What a treat to have you. We have to get to the biggest news in all the land. It's quite possible that you just had a baby.
It's not only quite possible, it's quite true.
It's quite true. How is life? Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Life has changed completely, of course. But so far it's been pretty fabulous. Not feeling too overwhelmed and just kind of getting the flow of having a little infant that a child that's my responsibility. It's pretty crazy.
Now, is she sleeping through the night yet? I feel it's time.
Of course. She's been sleeping through the night since day one. And she's going to college next week. So she's so advanced. No, you know, she's sleeping good 2 to 5 hours, depending on her mood, I guess.
All right. Well, can you tell yet which superhero powers she will have?
She will have whatever superpowers I tell her to have, and she will have probably She-Hulk-themed powers or possibly Cher-themed powers.
Wow. Or a combination, a mashup, as you rather enjoy.
How awesome would it be if there was a She-Hulk-Cher or a Cher-Hulk? Now that would be amazing.
Please, this can't be the first time that this has come up in your head.
No, but I need to do a comic book about it ASAP.
Quickly. Well, let's talk about the world of comic books. We've been spending a lot of time in the past year just talking about comic books on the show. Our good friends over at Geeks Out doing such great work with the Orson Scott Card protest. So
yeah, we love them.
We'll start with you as we start with them. Talk us through your fascination with comic books. When did it start for you?
I started loving comic books when I was a child and I had no friends. And I was a complete and utter geek and was just a little gay boy who no one quite understood and didn't really fit in with my family. And yeah, I think I had one friend. He was a super ugly, overweight weirdo at school that everybody hated, and ergo they hated me. And so one day I was at the drugstore back when comic books were sold at the local drugstore, and I picked up a Daredevil comic, and I liked the fact that he had red hair, and I liked the fact there was a tiger in it, and the rest is history.
And the rest is history. Were you more of a Marvel than a DC devotee?
Yeah, I read exclusively Marvel up until I was probably late middle school, early high school, and then I dipped my toes into DC, and now I read both.
Gotcha. Now, you will answer for us the question that so many have struggled with on this show, but I feel you have the definitive answer. What is the fascination of the gays with the comic books?
I think that for us, personally, it's that it's a world that we as children, as teenagers, we were able to kind of escape from our reality and kind of dive ourselves into this fantastic world full of, you know, colorful characters, and all the characters also have their own struggles, because the best characters always had some kind of internal battle with something, right? And so I think we could kind of identify with the fact that they were, the world was, I guess, against them in certain regards, and yet they were still these magical, powerful, amazing people who always rose above it all and were always willing to do the best they could for everybody around them.
Nice. First superhero crush, go.
Oh, shoot. I don't know. The funny thing about superheroes and comic books is I never really quite sexualized the men as much as other people might have done. So for me growing up, I never looked at the male characters as, like, hot or sexy. I just looked at them as my friends, I guess, in certain regards.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. But I do remember an issue of Avengers when Moondragon, she was the one with the shaved head, had a metal band around her head, and she had telepathic powers. She telepathically seduced Thor and made him bone her real good. And he had finished doing her, and he had, like, basically no clothes on, but had, like, a little tiny little towel covering his ding-dong tallywhacker, or his Milnor, as you would. And I remember, oh, my gosh, this is one hot picture.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was in Avengers, and it was he was in a different planet with her somehow, and she had telepathically molested his brain, and then they were, like, up all night doing each other like rabid dogs.
Gotcha. See, I thought, in reading some interviews that you've done online, we do have a similar obsession with kind of Australian Outback Dazzler.
True.
And so I have to say, and the sad part is this isn't even the first time I brought this up on the show, but it was a pivotal moment for me when Dazzler and Diamondback exchanged bodies, and then Diamondback seduced Wolverine, and it was pretty hot.
Yes. And then Dazzler was so mad from then on that Wolverine had her, and she was always upset that that happened.
I was not upset.
Oh, gosh, that's so funny. I love that issue, and I love Diamondback, because she was like the ultimate bad girl to try to go good, and I always have, you know, a deep sympathy for those flawed ladies.
I hear you. Well, I know we're fast-forwarding just a ton, but we got to come to all the comics that you have come to create. What was the first one? The first full-fledged comic that you put out to the world?
My first comic I ever created was actually called Unabashedly Billy, and it was a short story I wrote while I was at BYU. I went to Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm a Mormon, and I wrote a short story about my first date, but of course at that time it wasn't out, because if I was out, I would have gotten kicked out of the college.
Oh, yeah.
So I wrote a short story about my first date with my now husband. And after I left BYU, I decided to try drawing comic books. So I drew up a short story as a kind of like a one-issue, one-off. And it's actually online. You can read it on the prismcomics.org website. And it's all about me, this character Billy, who's getting ready for a date, and all his internal turmoil and fears, and, you know, if he's ready or not, and that's basically the whole story.
Wow. But so not so many superpowers there.
No, that was just like one of those slice of life comics that I feel like slice of life comics either have a love it or hate it kind of following. You know, either you look at it and you're like, oh, slice of life, boring and stupid. Or you're like, oh, superheroes, boring and stupid. I like slice of life. But you really rarely ever have a love of both genres,
gotcha.
I feel.
I'm a superhero guy. So let's go through some of these. Because I have them. You should see. They're just splayed out in front of me on the soundboard right now.
Oh, cool.
I'm looking at Rainbow and Diva. It's hard for me to talk about Rainbow and Diva without skipping to the end, which I don't necessarily want to ruin for people, but...
Oh, go ahead and ruin it.
What the heck, Brian?
I wanted to put a big twist in the story, and I wanted to show that, you know, here's this character. Well, the whole idea behind the story was, one day I was watching this manly fighting beat 'em up action flick, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool if there was a super feminine gay character who was like as fruity as can be, and in many ways soft myself because I'm quite fruity, and but also was super, you know, tough and can kick ass and did kung fu, and, you know, was very confident, because in all those action movies all the characters are always super confident, right? Like they're about to die but they're like winking at the camera and they're like, I'm gonna kick ass. So I really wanted a character like that, and at the end I thought, wouldn't it be great if there was a super crazy twist and his manly boyfriend, who was always in jeopardy, had to assume his role and become the new Rainbow.
Do you wake up in the morning and think, oh, crud, Rainbow's still in a coma?
I do. And actually, I really love that story. I don't know. I think for me, it's very much me in terms of how he talks and how zany it is. Someone once told me that it's quite an absurd story, which I guess I would agree, because, you know, there's like razor blade eyelashes, and there's, you know, just random crazy stuff. But I love that story so much, and if I ever did another one, it would only be with my co-creator, Selena Hernandez,
who
is the art for that.
Well, let me ask it a different way. How do you live with yourself? It's very upsetting. It's very upsetting.
I'm a gay man with a lot of self-hate, of course.
Oh, we laugh because it's true, folks. It's fun. Now, there in Rainbow Diva, before we move on to some other comics, there is the perhaps most pivotal piece of life advice ever given in a comic book ever for someone who's struggling and needs some advice, does it not instantly jump to your mind?
No, I would love to hear. What is it?
Say someone is crying and whining about something traumatic happening. What would be the advice that Diva might give them?
I don't know. She has so much awesome advice. Would she just say, go strut?
She would go strut it out. She would say, strutting always chases away the blues.
It's true, right? Like, if I could wear high heels, which I'm currently wearing, to be honest, but if I could wear them to my day job, I would totally strut up and down that boring office day job like no one's business.
Yeah. No, my supervisor today told me she was having a rough day, and I said to her, quote, when life gets you down, baby cakes, you just got to strut. Turns out not something to say to your supervisor.
Do you still have the red handprint across your face? Or?
Yeah, we're going to move on to another topic now. Let's move on from there. So we got to talk about So Super Duper. I mean, you are obviously aware that it's got quite the cult following.
I mean, I feel like it's all relative, of course. I mean, if cult following you mean my mother and my husband, then yes.
And me and Pence.
Oh, Pence. Well, she can't read quite yet, but I'm going to force her to know every page and recite it to me before she goes to bed every night.
Now, I have to ask, do you feel that our main character here ends up with the guy that we want him to end up with?
No, and that, again, was another part of my goal to put a twist in the story. Is I feel like, you know, for me personally, I've read comic books basically my whole life, and I feel that nothing's worse in a comic book story than knowing what's going to happen or where it's going to end. And I just feel like, for me, I really want to surprise my readers, and so I would love nothing more than to catch them off guard and to have them be like, oh my gosh, I did not see that coming.
Right. Because it's got, you know, look, it's got this kind of irreverent, silly vibe to it, and it's a fun coming out story of a superhero, and then a character dies, and you're like, wait a second, what the hell just happened?
Right, and I created Fly Girl just so she could die, because I wanted to have a character that, you know, throughout the whole series, the main character, Psyche, he doesn't have really any friends in the superhero community besides the ones that are outside the team. And I wanted a character that he would finally kind of connect with and feel like, oh my gosh, I'm finally getting an in inside this team, right? Like, I'm finally going to maybe become part of the crowd, and then she dies. And it's like, womp womp, sorry.
Oh, poor Psyche. He tries so hard, though, doesn't he?
He does. He does. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people find him really annoying. That's what I get a lot of feedback. It's like, people who don't give it a try read the first few pages or whatever and always say, I tried reading it, but he was so annoying, or he was so aggravating. And that's part of the whole character, was that I wanted a character that was maybe a little difficult to understand and read and kind of emulate.
Right.
Because that's the kind that I think, hopefully, throughout the story, you see that he grows and changes and becomes somebody more worthy as he accepts his gayness. You know, like, the more gay he becomes, the more accepting of his gayness he becomes, the more powerful, more confident he becomes.
Totally. Totally. Now, is there a favorite character in there for you? Is it Psyche?
I think Psyche, only because he, again, is based off myself, and you know, his coming out story is very similar to mine, in that I didn't really have, you know, I always try to be part of a clique of friends, and, you know, I always try to get that one person who would let me in, and then all of a sudden it wouldn't work out, and then I always hung out with, you know, a core group of small people that was never really popular, and I didn't come out until I was 26, so it wasn't until after I was graduating from BYU. And throughout my whole life, people would tell me, oh, you're so gay. Are you fruity? You're fruity. Are you gay? Blah, blah. And I always got so mad, because I was like, no, I'm not gay. Because I was trying so hard not to be who I was.
Right.
And that's part of Psyche's journey, was like me. It was like, once I realized, you know, Brian, get over your damn self, strut it out, and accept who you are. And ever since I've done that, my life has been beyond wonderful.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, for anyone who wants to pick up any of these comics, they can go to SoSuperDuper.com. Over there on the Facebook, how about the following for that ex-gays page?
Yeah, pretty crazy, huh?
How crazy is that? Well, I mean, it's not crazy. I think this idea of escapism, this idea of harnessing all the power that we have that's often marginalized, in some ways it's not at all surprising to me. But I would imagine it's quite the fun page to manage.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, sometimes it's a bit of a chore because you get these troll people who are mad at certain images. And, you know, the one I just recently posted with these cute gay boys who were in bed together, with one had a Kermit the Frog hat on and one had a Minion from Despicable Me, and they were, like, snuggling in bed, and I posted it. And some guy was like, I'm sick of all these handsome fake geeks who are in bed and being all sexy. This is, they are not real geeks, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of feel like, you know, guys, chill out. I mean, number one, you don't know if they're not legit geeks. Just because they're attractive does not mean they're not a geek. And number two, like, why the shade? You know, like, why can't you just enjoy the fact that these people have some affinity for some geek culture? Just because they're not full-fledged dorks or whatever, it doesn't mean they don't have some sort of connection to geek culture. And why can't we just enjoy the fact that they're posting this picture themselves?
Right, right. Now, I got to ask you for some opinions on some of the comic things going on right now. What do you think of the new X-Men movie coming out? Are we excited?
I'm cautiously excited, although I just saw a picture of Quicksilver that got released in Empire magazine, and I'm not so much buying his outfit and his look. But I did love X2. I thought it was amazing, so I'm holding out hope this is going to be equally amazing.
For some of our listeners who say, gosh, I want to know more about the gay characters in comics, I want to start picking up some comics that regularly feature gay characters, which ones would you point them to?
I would say probably the best one you can pick up now would be Young Avengers, although it just recently ended. But this run was really great. It was probably the gayest Marvel comic book ever because there were so many gay, bisexual characters in that comic. And it was also, you know, it wasn't too heavy-handed, didn't have a lot of backstory or continuity, which is confusing. And it was actually just a really entertaining, interesting story.
Nice. Oh, I love that hulking and Wiccan.
Oh, yeah. I also think Saga, if you're not reading Saga, you're missing out. It's not necessarily super gay, but there are gay characters in it now. They were just recently introduced a couple issues ago. But that book is beeping amazing.
Wait, Brian, I don't even know that book.
Saga from Image Comics?
I swear to you, I don't even know it.
Oh, my gosh. Now, I'm going to slap your other face that your supervisor didn't slap. It is amazing. It is by Brian K. Vaughan, and it has a female artist, Fiona Staples. And it is probably one of the best new comic books out there. It's only on issue, I think, 17 or something, so you can still get into it, but it is phenomenal.
They've come so far. I just feel like even in the past 5 years, comics with regards to just LGBT characters, it's been amazing.
Oh, yeah, and it's great because, you know, I've been on a few panels discussing LGBT comics and things, and, you know, back in the day when before there was black superheroes, and before there was black equal rights across the nation, you know, comics really did, in certain regards, lead the forefront by introducing, you know, Black Lightning and other black characters. And I kind of feel, in a way, you know, comics, again, is reflecting the future of our society and that LGBT characters should be included in comic books, just as they should be included in every facet of our life, and we shouldn't be discriminated against.
Yeah, totally. I've never been to a Comic-Con. Have you?
I've been to Comic-Con a number of times. I super love it. I've been to WonderCon, and I've been to APE, which is the Alternative Press Expo here in San Francisco.
I feel like I would get overwhelmed.
Well, Comic-Con is insanity itself. There's so many people, you can barely walk down the aisle. But the costumes there, people who come dressed up, is incredible. The comic books are probably maybe on a lower tier towards just the general pop culture-ness of Comic-Con. But if you want to go to a really great show, I would say go to one of the smaller shows that are just starting out. Those will be probably more geared towards comic books.
I feel like I could handle that.
Yes. Okay. Where are you at?
I am currently in Cleveland.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Cleveland.
don't start with me.
Yeah, but if you go to like Chicago, they have C2E2. That's kind of blowing up, and from what I've heard, is a really great convention.
All right. What's coming up for you? I mean, you're pretty busy right now.
Well, you know, I got my little beautiful daughter who's keeping me busy, but I still, of course, as you know, maintain the X-Gays Facebook page, which is almost at 30,000 likes. So if you want to like it, I would welcome you. And I'm kind of proud of the fact that I have not advertised to get any of my likes on Facebook. That's all just been word of mouth.
Oh, so that's fantastic.
Every single like, has just been people sharing the images that I put on the page. I'm going to try to get, I'm finishing, Friend of Dorothy, the third issue is being worked on presently, so I'm really excited to get that completed. And then I want to work on a new book that I'm thinking about doing that's about gay parents and about my experiences, you know, the surrogacy and having a child and getting married and all that fabulous stuff.
I mean, that's all great, but when is She-Hulk coming out?
That is going to be on the front runner, of course. Although, speaking of She-Hulk, not Cher, but Hulk, She-Hulk itself, I can't wait for her book, by the way. I am the biggest She-Hulk fan, and when I was in high school, I had the She-Hulk bang running across my face that went down to my mouth, and I put sunnen in it, which colored my hair like a nice, like a reddish color, because, you know, why wouldn't I? And people would always say that I had a leaf in my hair, but I'm like, no, it's my She-Hulk bang. So I'm stoked for this book.
It's supposed to be great. I don't know. I think I struggled a lot with the whole breaking of the fourth wall thing.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of goofy. But, you know, she's She-Hulk. I don't care what she does. As long as she's green and big and giant, I'm in there.
And on that note. So, folks, go stroll on over to sosuperduper.com. You can order everything just as I did. There are links right there. You can go to the Facebook, become one of the soon-to-be 30,000 folks liking the X-Gaze page. Very, very exciting. Huge congratulations on your daughter.
Thank you so much.
And, folks, please go check out these great comics because there's a lot of fun things happening, and Brian is at the root of a ton of them. Brian, we look forward to what's coming out next from you.
I look forward to everything that comes out of you.
Well, thank you. All right, folks. Well, we actually have quite a bit of time left over on this week's episode, which leaves time for some LGBT news and, you know, some views from me. I referenced this with Darren Ocker. We talked a little bit about the Grammys, but if you did not see, I don't know how you missed it or just watching it on YouTube afterwards, the Grammys this past week featured an homage to marriage equality. 33 heterosexual and same-sex couples participated in a mass wedding ceremony right there during the awards show. It took place during a live performance of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's Same Love, and the weddings were officiated by Queen Latifah. So, this is what's been going down since the Grammys happened. There have been articles and articles and posts and blog posts and just all these different sites that are saying not some very nice things about Queen Latifah. So let's break down what actually happened. Last Sunday, Queen Latifah was actually declared a commissioner. She was sworn in as a commissioner so that she could officiate these weddings. She got all gussied up. She got dressed up. She looked great. She went to the Grammys. She stood up there on stage. She married 33 heterosexual and same-sex couples. It was a stunning display of marriage equality. The Grammys were seen by something like 29 million different homes, and homes usually have one more person in it, so way more than 29 million people saw this, and so many of those folks just everywhere, all over the world, all over the country, in parts that don't have marriage equality. I mean, like here in Ohio, we don't have marriage equality, and we saw this, so it was great. So why the beef with Queen Latifah? And the beef with Queen Latifah, as many articles are saying, is that Queen Latifah, to this day, at this point, has not come out. And I guess it's widely known, not to me. I don't know. I don't know Queen Latifah. We're both New Jersey people, but I don't know her personally. I like her work a lot, but it is widely known in some circles that she is indeed a lesbian, and she's made little hints here and there, but she's largely been cagey about it and said, no, I'm not, you know, talking about my personal life. She has her own talk show right now. She's not talking about her personal life. Last summer, she performed at a Long Beach event, and people thought that was a coming out, but then she released a statement and said, no, and this wasn't a coming out. I'm just not talking about my personal life. And I have to tell you, here's me taking a stance in defense of Queen Latifah. I have such an issue with all these posts. There was one post that called her stubborn. There was one post that was calling her strange. I pulled together all these different posts because I was writing up a piece for the Huffington Post on it. There was one piece saying, as a black celebrity, you have a responsibility to come out. But then there were just post after post after post that were just angry with her and frustrated with her and come out already. And I'm sorry, I have no problem with Queen Latifah if she is indeed a lesbian. Which, again, I don't know. Just because we're both from New Jersey, she doesn't call me, folks. I know you're thinking, well, Ken talks to Queen Latifah all the time. Why can't you just out her? For several different reasons. One, I don't know her. It's weird. And two, because Queen Latifah, for me, does not fall into that category of folks to out. And let me be specific about this, because I've been giving it a lot of thought in the past couple days since the Grammys. There are some categories, and we've talked about outing a little bit on the show, and I'm generally against outing, except in certain circumstances. And I know this puts me in trouble. It's okay. One circumstance are these politicians, anti-gay politicians, who are indeed gay, who have been wielding the power of their office to actively suppress LGBT rights. That's not just putting yourself in the public light, and yes, because you're in the public light, we deserve to know your sexual orientation. No, I don't actually believe that. But you have gone out of your way, say, I don't know, Aaron Schock, Representative Schock, to use the power of your office to either suppress or, in many cases, take rights away from LGBT people. And insofar as we do have comments on our politicians' integrity, yeah, I think that's a pretty big lack of integrity there. So again, not a huge fan of outing. I think people should say that they're gay on their own terms, but I think you open yourself up to that when you are a politician and you actively suppress your LGBT brothers and sisters' rights. So there's that category. I somewhat get, just somewhat, when Margaret Cho outed John Travolta, John Travolta has allied himself with a faith that has actively suppressed LGBT voices. And he really puts himself out there as the poster child for that faith. I'm feeling like a little bit more on shaky ground with the John Travolta category of those celebrities, feeling okay about the politicians who are hypocrites and them being outed. John Travolta, A-list celebrities who could do a lot of good if they came out and certainly are being poster children for faiths that suppress LGBT voices. That's a little less shaky ground. But Queen Latifah is in neither of those categories for me. And in fact, not only is she not doing bad things, I know that's really simplistic, but seriously, not only is she not doing bad things, suppressing the voices of the LGBT movement, but she's actively being an ally. She's standing up there on stage in front of 29 million homes, which have tons of people in them, so let's just double it and say close to 60 million people, and I'm sure it was way more than that, because you heard from Darren Achert, who was at a gay party there in Miami. So tons and tons and millions of folks seeing her marry same-sex couples. I don't care if she doesn't say the phrase, I'm gay, as long as she's not working against the LGBT movement. And in fact, folks, let's get this as a reminder, she's working for it, and she's working pretty darn hard. So I have an issue with all these posts. Lay off of Queen Latifah. She is doing her part way more than, by the way, let me just say this. Just because you're a celebrity and you come out does not mean that you're 100% ally anyway. I always use the example of Rupert Everett, who I enjoyed very much in My Best Friend's Wedding. I'm not really sure what else he's been doing lately. Not a ton, I think. Who had some horrible anti-gay statements and put himself out there as an individual who said, yeah, gay parenting is gross. By the way, that's not so far from a direct quote from Rupert Everett. So, yes, it would be great if Queen Latifah came out. I think some of the barriers between race and sexual orientation would certainly come down if Queen Latifah came out, because she's such an incredible voice in so many different arenas. But she's working for equality. She's working to raise up the voices of LGBT brothers and sisters. So I could care less. I'll put her in the category of ally. Maybe if she is indeed a lesbian, she'll come out. It'll make a huge difference. But lay off Queen Latifah. She's doing great. Another person who I can't stand, it's not like people who come out are all in this great category. I was watching Stephen Colbert the other night, and he had Nate Silver on, who, by the way, not so engaging there on Stephen Colbert. I guess he's doing work for ESPN now. So Nate Silver, the statistician, is that what he calls himself? Probably. He knows stats, who just called the election for both of President Obama the past two elections, he really called it, and he was the one saying, hey, you guys, I don't know why people think this is close, it's not, and he got it all right. And he's one of those guys who, yes, he's out, and Out Magazine named him the person of the year last year, which was hilarious because he had comments like, yeah, but I'm not gay, and just really obnoxious stuff. So, Queen Latifah, you are A-okay in my book. That is a long diatribe for me. And guess what, folks? There's other news out there, because in New Jersey, the Garden State, the home of both me, Ken Schneck, and Queen Latifah, the New Jersey Democratic State Committee last weekend announced the formation of an LGBT caucus that's going to be incorporated into the party organization. This was a quote from the committee's chairman, John Curry. He said, quote, the LGBT community is integral to the Democratic Party, just as its members are integral to families across the Garden State. The aim of the caucus will be to strengthen the voice of the LGBT community in the state legislature and to perpetuate LGBT legal protections. Love it. My family's still in New Jersey. One of my sisters, my brother, my parents, and I certainly want my family to live in a state that has as many legal protections for LGBT folks as possible. So Queen Latifah and I applaud you, New Jersey. It's a very good thing. In Virginia, kind of on the other side of the spectrum, a little bit on the other side, a bill in Virginia that seeks to extend second parent adoption rights to same-sex couples, it now will not move forward during the 2014 legislation session, as a Senate committee voted 6-6 on Friday to block the bill. Currently, only heterosexual couples and single gay men or lesbian women are allowed to adopt children in the state. This was a quote from James Parrish, the executive director of Equality Virginia. He said, quote, today's Senate committee vote against second parent adoption is just another example of how completely out of touch these senators are with their constituents and the majority of Virginians. So that's kind of a bummer there in Virginia. Apparently, you got to be single and gay to have a child. That's okay, but if you're married and gay or in a relationship and gay, no second child adoption for you. The other thing that I want to tell you guys about, and I really am making such an effort, you're going to hear in a couple weeks, I'm going to tell you about some guests coming up because we have amazing guests, and I've actually recorded some of these interviews in advance because there were some crazy schedules out there and I wanted to get people on the show. One of the people that you're going to hear from is Katie Glover, who's the editor of Frock Magazine, which is just widely known as the most comprehensive and really the most stunning. If you haven't seen Frock Magazine, you just go to frockmagazine.com. It's a magazine that's targeted towards the trans community, but I'm telling you, I am not an individual who identifies as trans. I am a trans ally. I am not trans. And this magazine was incredible. It's incredible to read. And in talking with Katie, it was just another reminder for me as we move forward with this show to keep making the effort, and it really does take effort to feature the voices of the trans community. It's not always so easy to do that because it requires that people be out. And so just a reminder for me, which is I needed that reminder, and also to be covering in our news segments, to be covering trans-specific LGBT news. So wanted to put out there that the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the University of California Los Angeles Law School's Williams Institute, they released a report this week that provided, I'm telling you, it's an incredible report. It provided a nuanced look into the multiple factors contributing to the just insanely high suicide rate among transgender people. The name of the report is Suicide Attempts Among Transgender and Gender Nonconforming Adults. The report was authored by just folks who did incredible work in doing this research. So it's been known, I'm going to read a little bit from this, it's been known for years that trans individuals attempt suicide at significantly higher rates than that of their non-trans counterparts, but previous studies had not delved into the many contributing factors that render the trans population so vulnerable. While the report authors acknowledge that there is much more research that needs to be done, this report is a significant step forward for the often under-researched topic of transgender issues. There are some key takeaways from the report. There's stuff on income. There's a whole section on income about how transgender people who experience extreme poverty are significantly more likely to attempt suicide. There's a significant part about unemployment. A staggering 90% of trans and gender nonconforming people reported being the victim of workplace harassment. My God, 90% of transgender and gender nonconforming people reported being the victim of workplace harassment. Unbelievable. 26% indicated they had been fired from a job because of their gender identity. So obviously that affects people's mental health astronomically. Education, the high rates of poverty and unemployment would lead most to conclude that transgender people are less educated. That appears to be false, so that's a good thing, as injustice at every turn puts forward data that tells the opposite tale. The data in this report says that trans people are actually more likely to have attended college than the general population. So there's that. Bullying, not a surprise here, but still, you know, horrible. Those who were harassed or bullied in high school had a suicide attempt rate of 52%, making them 26.8% more likely to have attempted suicide than those who were not bullied. Trans individuals who were physically or sexually assaulted in high school, I almost don't even want to finish the sentence, but we got to get this information out there, folks. Trans individuals who were physically or sexually assaulted in high school had a suicide attempt rate of nearly 70%. 70. Unbelievable. And then the last piece is about acceptance. The level of acceptance provided to trans people by family and friends has a profound connection to whether or not they've attempted suicide. Those whose families completely cut off communication had a suicide attempt of 57%, which is up from 33% for those whose family relationships remain strong after they came out as trans. So again, the name of the article is Suicide Attempts Among Transgender and Gender Nonconforming Adults. You can just look it up online. You can get it pretty easily. And you got to read about it. We got to make some changes, folks. We have to make so many integral changes to protect the lives. This isn't, it's not just rhetoric. It's not hyperbole. We have to protect the lives of our trans brothers and sisters. It's really important. So, as I said, programming note, amazing things coming up, amazing things coming up. On next week's show, the hilarious and legendary Suzanne Westenhofer, and I have this incredible personal connection with her that she doesn't even know about, so I'm excited to talk to her. Amazing comic. Really, she's just been doing this for so long and just doing such a great job at putting her voice out there. And in addition, if you've seen, The Advocate this month has an article called Love in Putin's Russia. And so we will be having the author of that article, Chadwick Moore, is going to be on next week's show to talk about his experiences in Russia that in writing this article, which we're going to be featuring next week because, you know, the Olympics start next week. So that's pretty important. The week after that, Katie Glover from Frock Magazine, the editor, we had a great chat. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. And then the week after that, not only my birthday, so, you know, send me an email, ken@theshowisogay.com, to wish me a happy birthday there in the middle of February. I'm kidding. Please don't. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about you listening. But that week, our 250th episode, we have the most incredible show for you, and it is a guest that I've wanted to have for so long, and I don't want to say who it is yet, and I might just announce it that day, but that episode, the way I'm crafting it, is exactly what I've always wanted this show to be, where we are covering the hard news, but we are also covering the entertainment. So we've one guest representing just my, and I might be giving it away, my nonprofit organization of choice, the one that I've talked about more than any other over the years, the one that inspired my dissertation. So we'll be talking to that executive director, and then we'll be talking to someone in the entertainment business who perhaps will be starring on Tina Fey's new sitcom. So it's going to be really exciting. It is exactly what I wanted to do for the 250th episode, so I'm quite thrilled and quite thrilled to bring that to you. And we have guests after that. We're not just stopping at 250. I debated it, by the way. But we're not, because I want to keep going, and there's more people I want to talk to, and I want to hear from you guys. So send me guest ideas. We have folks after the 250th episode, but we're always looking for more. If you have any guest ideas, send them on over to ken@theshowisogay.com. Please, please. I love hearing from you guys. Huge shout out to Johanna, who always emails us, and I love hearing from her. And we have Bobby, who emails us almost every week, and Gary, who emails us every week. Just folks who are constantly providing feedback. Just keep sending those emails on over. It's just so gratifying, and I love hearing from you guys. So that's it. Our huge thanks to Darren Ockert. We love him. Our new buddy, Brian Anderson. Can't wait for She-Hulk to come out. You folks listening, get out there. Go do whatever it is that you do to raise up the voices of your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. And while you're out there making a difference, folks, whatever it is that you're doing, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?